Well, I truly hope that your hearts are filled with joy, as mine is. And we have the promise of peace and the promise of Christmas in the Lord Jesus Christ. And what a joy it is that he came to us fully human and fully divine to be our Savior. That God provided a way back to himself through the forgiveness of sins in our Lord Jesus Christ. That not only did he come to set us free from sin and death, but to be our King and Messiah. To reign with him forever on high. We read the passage this morning in Luke chapter 1. It's not a difficult passage to deal with, really. But there are a few things that I'd like to point out as we get started. In Luke chapter 1, there in 43rd verse, it says, "Why am I so honored that the mother of my Lord should visit me? And when I heard your greeting, the baby in my womb jumped for joy." And we learned from the scripture there that she was approximately 6 months pregnant at this point. But Elizabeth did not know about Mary. She didn't know that Mary was visited by an angel. And when you get to the end of that passage of in verse 38, she was going to see Mary. Now, I did a little geographical sort of analysis there, and it's approximately 100 miles. 100 miles on foot. You know, you'd think that conventional wisdom would be something to the tune of 15 to 20 miles a day, but you have to remember that it's 120 degrees even there, even at this time of the year. And I can assure you, you would not be going 20 miles a day, even by caravan. And another thing to take note is that a donkey travels at its own pace, not your pace. And if the donkey wants to stop, guess what? The donkey's going to stop. And you've heard about, they got their mind of their own. So you really can't have the pack animals set the tone or set the course, set the pace. So it would have taken Mary probably at least 7 days by foot, I would say. 100 miles. If you were to go to 10 miles, about 10 miles a day, something like a little bit, maybe more than that, and you get to be, you know, about 7 days of travel. I don't know that the time frame matters as much, but I just don't want us to wax over the idea that this was a small thing. Mary was rushing to Elizabeth. Why? Because the angel told her that Elizabeth was pregnant, and she wanted to see for herself. And as we notice there in the passage, that Mary sings the song of faith while Zechariah had basically said, well, we can't do that, we're too old. And so you have the contrast here of Zechariah not believing and of Mary believing and of Elizabeth believing and believing of what the angel said. In fact, in verse 33 of chapter 1 of Luke, it says, "And he will reign over Israel forever. His kingdom will never end." And so a few days later, in verse 39, Mary hurried to the hill country of Judea, to the town where Zechariah lived. Most think that's probably Hebron is where they were. And of course, if you take up near Nazareth, down to Hebron, about 100 miles. In verse 41, "At the sound of Mary's greeting, Elizabeth's child leapt within her, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit." Does that imply that she wasn't filled with the Holy Spirit before? There was some enabling there about her, you know, because she was barren. So God had to do some things prior to that, inside, just as he did with Mary. Immaculate conception. Of course, this wasn't immaculate. It was Zechariah's wife, of course. But there were some things that had to happen that were, in fact, supernatural. What I want us to focus on, though, in terms of the context here, and we're not going to go very long today, and I did that on purpose because the little ones gave us lots of joy, didn't they? And so that's the whole point of today's sermon. It's joy. What I want us to think about is that 28th verse. And I know that the angel was speaking directly to Mary, but he said, the Lord is with you. The Lord is with you. The Lord is with you. And there are everybody that's around us that knows us, that are believers, need to know that the Lord is with you. We need to know that the Lord is with us. Because sometimes we have doubts. And if it was all and only supernatural or spiritual, how would we know that Jesus came? How would we know that he became the Messiah, that he rose from the dead? How would we know that unless he came? And he did come. In fact, there's probably more written eyewitness account of the resurrection than any other topic in history, practically. Hundreds of eyewitnesses to the resurrection. But we'll get into that in a few months. So Elizabeth's confession was supernatural. It was the first time that human lips gave testimony about Jesus. Here's what she says. In verse 42, Elizabeth gave a glad cry and exclaimed to Mary. Now how could she say this? She didn't know. God has blessed you above all women, and your child is blessed. And then she says, why am I so honored that the mother of my Lord should come visit me? And when I heard your greeting, the baby in my womb jumped for joy. This wasn't a kick that you ladies have all experienced who've had children. This was like, I can see John the Baptist. Can't you see him in there? With his little beard and his gird and all that. And I could see him in there jumping up and down. You know what I'm saying? I could see him down in there jumping for joy. And you are blessed because you believe that the Lord would do what he said. Notice there. And that's a message for us today. You are blessed because you believed that the Lord would do what he said. We have seen it countless times in Scripture, haven't we? Where God has showed his people that he was going to do something miraculous. That he would tell a prophet what was going to happen. And they would believe. And remember, Israel would come together and they would repent. And they would get it right. And they believed that God would do what he said. And now, Messiah is here. Imagine Israel thinking, those who believe today, and there is a remnant of Jews who believe that Jesus is the Messiah. And in that time, there will be a gathering of that remnant. But there were those all around that believed what the prophet said. And I believe that you also believe what the Scripture teaches us. So again, Elizabeth did not know about Mary and Gabriel, the conversation they had. And so what we can take from this real quickly is that we can clearly expect God to do supernatural things in our lives. I don't think any of us have any doubt about that. He causes things to happen. All you have to do is read in Romans chapter 8 and find out. Oh, Lord, don't get me started in Romans chapter 8. I just want to read that to you because is there any doubt that God can do supernatural things? No. Not at all. There's no doubt. Paul made it very clear. He made it abundantly clear. Yet now what we suffer is nothing compared to the glory he revealed to us later. This is in Christ Jesus. For all creation is waiting eagerly for that future day when God will reveal who his children really are. And then we go down. Verse 26, and this is one of the supernatural activities in your life and in my life that God says in verse 26 and in Romans 8, and the Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness. The Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness. For example, we don't know what God wants us to pray for, but the Holy Spirit prays for us with groanings that cannot be expressed in words. And the Father who knows all hearts knows what the Spirit is saying, for the Spirit pleads for us believers in harmony with God's own will. And here it is. And we know that God causes all things to work together for good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose for them, like Mary and Elizabeth, like you. For God knew his people in advance, and he chose them to become like his son, so that his son would be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. And having chosen them, he called them to come to him. That's why when it comes to salvation, all you got to do is share the gospel. You share your story. Share what you shared. Share what happened in your life. That's all. It's nothing hard, really. And you don't even have to think of remembering what to say when you share your own story. Notice there, and having chosen them, he called them to come to him. And having called them, he gave them right standing with himself. And having given them right standing, he gave them his glory. These are some of the consequences or the results of Jesus coming. He gave us right standing with himself. So the next time that you doubt if God loves you, when you doubt that things are going awry and nothing is going right, and it's been weeks and months, understand that those things can happen even when we are in right standing with God. And God will see us and be with us through those difficulties. And there will be supernatural things that happen. Things that cannot be explained. Prayers that we have no explanation except the hand of God. Things working out, lining up to where there's no other explanation. And we know these kinds of things happen all the time for believers. And so here it is that Elizabeth says to Mary, notice what she said. Again, she did not know that Mary was visited by Gabriel. This was supernatural. This affirmation of Jesus was supernatural. Why am I so honored in the 43rd verse that the mother of my Lord should visit me? Notice she calls the baby in Mary's womb mother of my Lord. She was filled with the Holy Spirit, supernaturally understood that Mary's baby was Jesus. And she says there in verse 42, God has blessed you above all women, and your child is blessed. And then, of course, she says there at the end, you are blessed because you believed that the Lord would do what he said. Unlike Zechariah. But Zechariah got it right at the end, because he prophesied in that 67th verse, and we covered some of that already. And so this isn't a hard thing. So God usually chooses the least person to more clearly demonstrate his mercy and power. And we find that in Mary, right? Mary was the shepherd lady. She was the poor one. She was the one that had a family not of very many means. Remember that Elizabeth was the wife of the priest Zechariah. So they had a different place in society. Back in the ancient world, the priest and their families had a high position in society, a very high position, right? So Elizabeth was one of a higher social order than Mary. But God chose Mary. Why? Because he loved Mary. We don't really have a good answer as to why Mary was chosen. There's no revelation of that in Scripture. We just know that God did. But what we do find as a theme in Scripture is that God often uses those who are the lowest, the weakest, the poor, the needy. God uses those people to shame the powers of this world. That's what he does. And here's the other thing. And this is a real thing for us. It is usually people that don't have much who need a Savior. That's why he said that it's hard for the rich man to get to heaven, because they don't need to be saved. They got their money. They got their power. They got their status, their social structures, and all the other things, senators and so on, all throughout time. They don't need no Jesus. But people that don't have power, people that are poor and unhealthy and who don't have much, the orphans and the widows, that's who God came. Now, it's true, yes, that God came to save even the rich man. Yes, naturally. But those that are the marginalized in society, if you will, those are the ones that have a need for Jesus. Obviously, everyone needs Jesus. But the lowly are the ones that acknowledge their need for a Savior. They get it figured out. And actually, when you think about it, it's the least person that God can use the most. It's both humbling and terrifying to think about it. I love this verse. You know, it's funny, and it's not really a side note, but I was reading along and I was looking at this, and I was looking in a different Bible because I have my research Bible and this is my speaking Bible, but I got my research Bible and I'm looking at that and looking at cross references, and I found this verse and I forgot the reference. And it took me every bit of 4 hours to find that blasted verse again. You know, that's just the way research goes. But contextually, I think it fits because, you know, obviously it's not contextually the same, and that's not necessarily what Paul was talking about. But what we find here is action in Luke chapter 1. We don't find the words only of Gabriel. We see the actions of bellies getting bigger and of Zechariah's mouth being closed. Clearly supernatural activity going on. And so I love this verse, for the kingdom of God is not just a lot of talk. It's living by God's power. And we need to try to figure out what that looks like. And of course, the scripture teaches us what that is. So, you are blessed because you believed that the Lord would do what he said. That's what Elizabeth said to Mary, and that's what I'm saying to you, who confess Jesus Christ as your Lord. You are blessed. That's a powerful word. If you go back to Matthew chapter 6, you're going to find lots of blessings. Blessed, blessed, blessed. You're familiar, you know it, in the Beatitudes. So today we can have joy, gang. We can have joy all this Christmas season. Why? Because we are blessed to be the recipients of God's gift of redemption. And we celebrate that with the Christmas tree and the giving of gifts. We celebrate the giving. We celebrate the giving, not the getting. Just as was modeled to us in our Lord Jesus Christ, that he came, God sent his only Son, that who would ever believe in him would not perish but have everlasting life. God's gift of salvation was in that little baby in that manger. And by the way, talking about the lowly, we're going to get into this next week and the next week. About them shepherds, they're probably not very wealthy either. We are blessed by the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Some people call it conscience, and I think that all human beings have a conscience. That's how we were wired by God. We were built that way. But there's a problem, because the conscience that's not repentant, the conscience that's not regenerated, does have no conscience for the moral aspects of Christianity. But yet if you ask anyone, practically, I've probably asked 10,000 soldiers in my career. Now remember, these are trained killers. Let's not make a mistake and pull punches. We love our service members. We love their families and the sacrifices they have to make. But understand that our Army and Navy, Air Force, all these folks, they're all trained to kill people. That's their job. I have yet to find a soldier that would say to me that murder isn't wrong. They know it intuitively. We know it intuitively. The question becomes, and we've talked about this before, but I make reference to it today because it bears the point here about the conscience. The question is, why is murder wrong? Why? Because I say it is? Because I think it is or isn't? But yet, why is it so that in our conscience, intuitively, we know that murder is wrong? We would all agree. Well, how do you know that? Who told you that? Where did you get that from? And where did your parents, by the way, if that's your argument, and their parents, and blah, 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 all the way to the back to the beginning of time? Who told them that it was wrong to murder? We are blessed because we have the mind and the heart of God in us by the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. The moment that you confess Jesus as your Lord, the moment that you repent of your sins, the moment that you recognize that there is a gulf, there is a separation between me and God, and it's my sin that causes that separation, and that God sent Jesus so that the world could be reconciled to him one time for all through faith in God's Son and his work on the cross, not our own. And so we are blessed by the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. And finally, when we act in faith, believing God, we are blessed. Question is, will you let go of the steering wheel? Will you let God have his way? Will you follow the guidance of that Spirit that's in you, that is talking to you, that is informing you? And all Christians, all believers have the Holy Spirit in them. And we want to thank God for the joy that the Holy Spirit brings. That one day, knowing that his kingdom will never fail, and that everything that was said to Mary came true, and we believe that in the word, that all these things will happen accordingly. And look at verse 47 and we'll close. How my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. Rejoice. What does that mean? Joy, 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 joy. Down in my heart, we got the joy, joy. I mean, it's rejoice. Again and again and again and again and again and again and again. That's where the joy comes from. The joy comes from the Holy Spirit. It's supernatural. And even in ugly, horrible, terrible circumstances, read up on Corrie ten Boom, read up on the prisoner camps in the Nazi Germany, read up in Polish, Jews in Poland in the time of the Second World War. Look at all those in Indonesia. Look at those in the Middle East who are being persecuted, and in China being persecuted for their faith. But most of the time, these are some of the most joyous Christians you'll ever hear about. That has to be supernatural. And so we thank God for that today. Worship team, would you come?